from working with Tasteman, my career, I just feel like success happened overnight, if I'm being honest. Like, they put me in charge of like a lot of videos, and like I got this opportunity to work for IMDb. 2021 was my peak. I was like one of the lead editors at IMDb, doing their TikToks, doing their career retrospectives. I did something for Netflix during AAPI month. Did something for like BET. It all started from like doing videos where I wasn't getting paid.
Hey everyone, I'm very proud to represent our sponsor for this podcast. We're actually located here in Santa Paula inside A Plus Branding. They're your one-stop shop for promotional supply products such as t-shirts, custom hats, custom apparels, you name it, they brand it. A Plus Branding provides all your promotional needs. They also provide vinyl decals such as stickers. They even did this wall here for me to make sure that this room is branded properly, to make sure that the guests that do come here feels that experience. It's also a really cool partnership because we work directly with brand owners, business owners. So when they come in here, they also have a one-stop solution for their needs. So make sure to go ahead and check out A Plus Branding. You can check them out at their website, aplusbranding.com, and you can go ahead and request a quote from them. Now back to the show. What is up, everyone? Welcome to another episode here at Voiced Podcast. You know, here at the podcast, we like to create. We like thinking about innovation. We strive on values, right? So recently, about, I would say, a month and a half ago, I got invited to a local film to showcase his eight-year filming, which to me was really incredible, especially coming with similar backgrounds. And I got a chance to connect with them through social media, through a friend of mine who was recently on the podcast as well. And, you know, I had the opportunity to learn about him, but also know about what he does. And I just knew, oh, this guy had to be on the podcast as well. So I'm really excited for you to be on the podcast here, Gerard. You know, coming from a videographer, I'm not, just so you know, I don't have any background in videography, right? I started because I wanted to do a podcast. Then I was forced to learn, oh, okay, how do I promote this? Oh, I got to do video. So then understanding the scope and from where that came, you know, it's a difficult challenge, man. You know, so, you know, I just want to give that kudos to you. You're going to give a little bit of background about how you started and everything. So for all of our listeners, just to start off, let's start with your story. How did you get started with where you're, or let's talk about who you are and what you do right now.
Cool. Yeah, man. First off, thank you so much for letting me be here. That was a really great introduction. That was like no hesitation, no stuttering whatsoever. So props to you, man. also, shout out to like you for making me feel really comfortable. I really like your place.
Thank you.
But yeah, just a little, you know, how to give you a pat on the back. But yeah, so my name is Raymond Gerard Braza. Everyone knows me as Gerard. Mm-hmm. I prefer being called Gerard. Fun fact, I do have a twin brother whose first name is Raymond as well. So like, you know, and this will correlate with like my story and my identity as a person. I guess I'll start with that. So like growing up, I've always had like a difficult time trying to like really find who I am, and not really more of like, not just like the name aspect of it, but we were, you know, growing up in a Filipino background, like I guess it's common for twins to have the same first name, you know, and like even on the roster in kindergarten, like they would both call us Raymond and I would hate that. So we kind of people who knew me, like family, they would just call me Gerard. Mm. And my brother named Angelo, they call him Angelo. But at school, they both call us Raymond.
Right.
But I ended up taking the name Raymond throughout my trajectory, which not that important, but just a little fun fact. I had to, like, a lot of my friends had to switch from calling me Raymond to Gerard.
Yeah, I think the first time I started calling it was Raymond. And people asked, like, who's Raymond? I'm like, are you serious? Like, wait, did I get the name right?
Yeah, so, like, I mean, now it's like, oh, Raymond Gerard Braza, not just, oh, Raymond, you know.
That's what, like, call you G-Rod?
Or? G-Rod, yeah. That's a little fun nickname. Okay. You know, that's a little fun nickname. But, yeah, Gerard, G-Rod, Gerardo is actually my name, but Gerard's a nickname. That's like another fun fact. That's crazy. So roots, Raymond Gerardo Braza. But yeah, to start from the beginning, I've always had trouble. And I apologize if I go on these ambitious tangents, but I'll try to keep it as linear as possible. But yeah, so identity. So identity was a big thing, especially growing up, having a twin brother. I always felt like I was being compared, and I felt like everything was like a competition, you know. And I guess the only good thing from that, I am a competitive person with myself. You know, I always strive to become better than I was yesterday. But with identity, it was more like, okay, how can I do something without feeling judged? And of course, like, I guess not judged, being compared. And human instinct, when you see twins, you're always going to compare. Oh, like, he's older, he's like fatter, he's skinnier, whatever, like stuff like that. And I dealt with that like my whole life. And I wanted to do something where it's like, I don't want to do the same thing as my brother, because then they're going to be like, oh yeah, they're twins. They do the same thing.
For sure.
And granted, we did do the same thing. Like, we like, you know, surprisingly as twins, we did like doing the same things. But I guess I started realizing, okay, he's doing dancing and I like dancing at the time too. And this was like, I guess like elementary school, we both like dancing and stuff. But I wanted to become my own person. And this, like the whole dance stuff, that will correlate to my story now and who I am now, because dance is a big part of my life.
For sure.
And that's just something I wanted to preface. It was a long journey. But let me run it back. So we've always both been creative, but for me, I'm all about memories and cherishing moments and stuff. And I've always wanted to, I guess, document like certain things, because I didn't really have like a rough, we all had like a rough childhood, you know, as cliche as that sounds. But the only rough thing about me was like identity and stuff. And I wanted to really show people, like document everything I do, so that I can prove to people I'm not the same as my brother, you know. And it was not really like a vendetta against my brother or anything like that. It was just more like, okay, let me do something that's a little different, but also still have the heart to do it, because the intention is there and I like doing it because I like doing it.
For sure.
And I learned that, you know, I learned that later on, that like, okay, I don't need to prove anything to anyone, you know.
But would you say that you started off from that kind of angle?
I did.
Usually most people, you know, when they start comparing themselves, it's from a foundation of like, well, I don't feel valued enough. Mm-hmm. So let me change things up myself, you know?
Yeah, especially because like I always felt like, as being a twin, that like my story was going to be written for me, when it shouldn't be like that. Yeah. Life shouldn't be like that. You are your own person. You make your own pathways and stuff.
Damn, you are a filmmaker.
Yeah. And that's where, like, as you know, as cheesy as this sounds, like as a film nerd myself, like I wanted to tell a story with like the movie I made today before someone else tells it for me. Cause I don't want my life to be in control, or any bias or stereotypes that
I love that
people all go through, twins go through, Asian Americans go through.
Oh, for sure.
And I wanted to break that. And when I was little, I didn't really think about like, oh, race wasn't a thing, you know? Oh, I'm Asian.
Well, and were you born here or in Philippines?
I was born here.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Cool.
I was born here. But we'll get to that. But starting off, apologize. That was like, I don't want to jump tangent to tangent, but I started to do film, like I said, because I wanted to do something that my brother didn't, but then I realized, okay, this is fun. I love recording my mom's smile. I love recording.
That's sweet.
I love recording the road to Disneyland. Cause I'm like, back then there was no Siri and stuff. So I would just record the roads with my grandpa and my uncle, who they're the ones who got me into filmmaking. I would record the roads, and like, just like the fact that you can play back your life during that moment really just, you know, it makes you appreciate things more and really just enables you to think, I can do more in life. You know, and
yeah.
I did that. I can say I did that because of a simple,
for sure,
looking at the camera screen. So that's basically how I started. Like, I just like memories, and I loved hanging out with people. I love watching horror movies. I remember, I made a little short film with my cousins. Nothing serious at all, but it was called Oxnard Horror, and I'm pretty sure I still have it. And I wish I actually thought about like showing you some clips for you to put in. Like,
okay, okay.
You know, like,
cause yeah, we could put it up. Yeah,
yeah. But I need to find it, dude. That's
yeah.
That's
just like send it to very, me. You know?
That's very. It's very old JVC. But yeah, JVC camcorder was like my very first camera. I think like 1998. I've been doing it for a while.
Okay.
You know. And I guess in a sense, it was. I wouldn't really call it cinematography, videography, whatever. I was just a kid who just loved recording memories.
Nice.
And that was my roots of why I became a filmmaker.
Mm. That's so awesome, man. Mm. That's awesome. And you know, it's interesting too, because I've spoken to a lot of creators, and usually a lot of those passion and inspiration to create comes from starting and picking up something that they never thought that they could create. And then that amplifies down their career path.
Mm-hmm.
Now for yourself, as you were growing up, you know, getting a hold of the camera, because I recently learned the past 3-4 years, I love to document too. Mm-hmm. I don't care about how it looks. I just want to look at it back and say, oh, damn, that was pretty cool. Or I accomplished that. You know, you'll have a sense of like in the past, before social media became a thing, right? We had VHS, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember just doing that. I just loved like having that, you know, memories to treasure, you know, so I can totally resonate with you in that. So as time progressed and you became more an adult, and was that, did you already pursue getting into film, or like how did your career path transcribe throughout your lifestyle?
Yeah, so like I said earlier, growing up, I mean, I didn't say it earlier, but I guess I'll bring it up now, but growing up in a Filipino household, or even like being Asian American, like film, anything creative is very frowned upon.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, you know, and that's another thing about identity. I was so insecure of like showing people, oh, I like filming. Whereas, oh, my brother is doing, and he's an engineer, you know, that's an example. But, or my sister's a nurse. That's true. But I didn't want to be that. And I didn't want to just be, I guess, a stereotype, you know, and I was going through many stereotypes. Oh, I'm a twin. I do the same stuff as my brother, you know. And I'm Asian. I'm gonna pursue engineering
for sure, for sure.
And leading up to like college. So like before I get into that, I was filming skateboarding. And that was just, you know, I love documenting stuff before I got into narrative stuff like writing stories. So I got into skateboarding. And that's another thing about identity. I found skateboarding, but secretly I like dancing.
Mm.
And I would dance on the side by myself, and I would just be ashamed. Like, I can't show people that I can dance or like I like dancing. And that's very emotional for me because, yeah, it was really hard because like my brother wanted a spotlight, and I get that, you know, we're twins. Right. We want to be different people. That's another reason why I couldn't do Eminem, you know. Byron knows my whole story. Yeah, I never really, a lot of people don't really know that about me, but that led up, that also correlated with my story of why I became a filmmaker, because fast forward to after graduating high school, before I went to Cal State Northridge, I studied computer science, and I only did it just to show my parents I'm doing something, you know, because, you know, oh, you're not going to make it in film, like all that. And I got that from like a lot of people, you know, and that's no shade with any of my friends who supported me. But it's like I've got that with like not just my parents, like it's just in general, like
right. No
one really believes you. Oh, I'm going to make it in the industry. No one really believes you until it happens,
yep.
You know, and people are just so impatient to like call you out when like, no, things take time, you know. And before I transferred to CSUN, I actually transferred as a cinema and television major, but my dad didn't know that because he was the one, he was in the army.
He believed in traditional values.
Traditional
right?
values. Yep. He was the one paying for my tuition from the GI Bill. So I actually lied to him and said, oh, I'm going to transfer as a computer science major.
Yeah.
So I lied. And then he didn't really know I studied film until I the day he went to my graduation.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. So,
what was his reaction when you did graduate?
I mean, he wasn't mad. It was just more like flabbergasted. Mm. Like, he was pretty in shock, but I'll get into that. But during that time, I was kind of like being Hannah Montana. Oh, yeah, I'm studying engineering. It's cool. You know, I'm growing up as an 18-year-old, whatever, like, Because, like, you come of age, yeah, in high school, but you also come of age, like, you really know the real life after high school. You lose friends and stuff. And at that time, like, I kind of felt like an outcast because I was still skating. And, you know, stereotype with skaters, oh, your friends are, like, druggies or alcoholics and stuff. And I can get where they're coming from. And I obviously, yeah, and I'm not afraid to admit this. I did go through that. But I was just having fun. Like, okay, I'm filming skateboarding. Let me see if I can get into filming skateboarding as a career. Fast forward to college. I studied film. My mom knew. My dad didn't know because my mom is my number one supporter. But fast forward to there, like, I was filming skating and I got an internship for this company called NKA Vids. I don't know if you've heard of Nigel K. Alexander. He's like a prestigious.
Sounds familiar.
I think he's still popping now, quote unquote popping, but he's a prestige. He's pretty well known in the YouTube skate industry or skate industry in general. He's worked with like Primitive and
I think one of my guys here might know. Yeah, they're big in the skating world.
Yeah, and that's where I kind of made a quote unquote name and made a name for myself. That's how people knew me. Oh, because I was on Nigel's YouTube channel. Don't look it up.
And but you were making his videos.
I was making his videos. I was editing. Gotcha. More or less, I was mainly editing, getting skaters together, driving around. It was fun, you know. I got to work with like Mountain Dew and like Taco Bell. I worked with like a bunch of companies, and yeah, shout out to Nigel. He helped me with my career, and he also helped me realize I like editing.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
wow.
I really yeah. But fast forward to when I graduated, the day of graduation. I was secured to work with Nigel full time, and I know I don't like talking about money, but at that time, and this is where like my dad was kind of right, like, are you sure you want to work with the skate company where you're not really making anything? And in my head, I'm like, you're right, like, yeah. And my dad actually knew someone from Oprah Winfrey Show, and I kind of got offered a job, not really offered a job, but like he knew someone from Oprah Winfrey, and he said, Gerard, like, I'm not mad, but, you know, you can potentially work with Oprah Winfrey as an editor.
It's cool as fuck.
And at that time, like, I didn't have, really that much experience with editing, like, compared to myself now, like, no. Like, I wasn't confident. I was just being truthful and honest. I wasn't thinking about the paycheck. And I was 23. I was in my early 20s. And, yeah, you know, I could have, like, quote unquote, not grew up, but I could have like stepped into adult life quicker with a 9-to-5 job right away, but I didn't, you know, I declined it. And that's my whole mindset of like risk versus reward. Like, am I willing to risk something to get a bigger outcome? And I did, you know, and yeah, it was hard. It was hard financially, you know, I know I don't like talking about money, but I'll just be open about it. Like, working in the skate industry, it's like you can't really make anything off that, you know. And at that time, I moved back to Oxnard.
You mean through skating?
Yeah, through skating. Okay. I was like filming skaters, you know, working with like, we did a lot. Like I said, like I went to Dew Tour. I did a lot of cool stuff, but I knew there was going to be a time where I had to stop, you know, because I am an adult. I have to think about my bills and
for
stuff.
For sure. Yeah.
But I talked to my mom about it. I talked to my mom about it. Hey, can I like move back? Cause I didn't really know what I wanted to. I knew I wanted to do filmmaking and stuff, but I didn't really know the right way to do it. I know. And don't get me wrong. There's really no right way to do things at all. You know, you just got to know your gut. And I had a gut feeling that I chose the right decision. But I spoke to my mom about it. Can I move back to Oxnard, stay here for like a year, whatever, or stay here as long as I like pay rent, whatever.
Where were you going before? Or
I lived in Northridge.
Northridge for school, right?
Yeah, okay. For school. And then I moved to Long Beach to work with Nigel.
Okay.
But being in Long Beach, no offense to Long Beach, it was a little transition that I didn't want to succumb to because like my living situation, which I'm not going to go too deep in it, it wasn't really great. I don't know. I wasn't feeling it. So I told Nigel, can I just work as an editor and
work from home.
And I did that, you know, I loved it. Worked with them for 2 years. And then maybe like to fast forward, I found this ad, I think on Craigslist. I was, I think 24. A year later, I was 24, and there's this company, I did not want to name drop this company, but I'll name it. They're not going to see this name called SmartFit Inc. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's a brain rehabilitation company where they do like brain training and stuff. And they're looking for like a videographer, an editor, or video marketing director. And I was like, okay, let's see. I don't have experience. All I know is like, I've worked with, I've just shot videos for like Mountain Dew, whatever, whatever. Let me see. Because I don't want to, because right now I need to think about the money, you know, and not just have fun. And at that time I'm like, okay, now it's time to, you know, now it's time to grow up and let me actually help pay rent. But I saw this ad on Craigslist, got interviewed, whatever. Super cool. Shout out Brad. He's still my homie today who interviewed me. I got it, you know, worked there full time and started making money, you know, like, started being an adult, paying rent, paying all my bills and stuff. And then I'm like, okay, I'm making money. Yeah, I should be saving this, but I want to be a filmmaker. So I saved up a lot of money to buy a Sony A7S II. And I made my first short film called Wayward Nature. A lot of people know. I try not to like bring it up because I think about it now. It's like not as good as what I'm doing now, but it's okay. That was my first baby. That was my first step into the real world of professional filmmaking, whatever. So yeah, I saved up like maybe like $15,000, and I spent all that on camera equipment and
my film. Kudos to you, man.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm not really like a lot of people don't know that, but yeah, I made my first film. Everything.
I mean, my setup. I mean, if I'm counting all this, it's probably under 10,000, you know, and then as time progressed, I knew what to invest in. But yeah, for sure. Yeah. When I first started this stuff, they were probably under 5,000, you know.
Yeah, it's expensive, man. Like, yeah, you know, and it just takes like, okay, I should be. Yeah. But it's like, no, I want, this is an investment for myself. And I even told my mom, like, no, this is what I want to do. Like, even if I like my Roy, whatever, even if I don't get any money back, no, this is what I want to keep doing. This is how you make it in the industry. Like, you got to make something first. And I made it, you know, gone to a few festivals, you know, I didn't go anywhere, but I was still happy with it. I don't regret it. I got to learn how to direct actors, screenwriting, which I learned in college, but I got a sense of running everything not on my own. Shout out to like Ernie and my producer, Marissa, who I still work with today. My Waver Nature fan, but I got a
Raver Nation.
I got a like a kick of how making a film works. I'm like, okay, I want to do this. I want to keep doing this, even if I'm not making money. And because that's honestly, like, if I were to give advice to someone, that's how it'd be. Like, I've never been a person to like expect someone to like give me something. It's always like, I've always worked my butt off like to not get handouts and stuff. Like, I'm not. Like, even with, like, novelty, which we'll get into, like, I didn't expect someone to give me money to make it. Like, no, I'm doing it myself. You got to have,
I didn't know you got... Okay, I thought that was your... Cool, we'll dive into that.
No, it was my own money. For novelty. But, like, what I'm saying is I knew I wasn't going to get... Someone's not going to give me money to make something that I put my heart into. Like, no, like, that's just a reality.
You didn't have any expectations of other people to do that for you. Actually, that's a very powerful thing to do, because a lot of people operate under the transactions rather than their visions and beliefs and faith, you know? So oftentimes that prevents them from actually going after them and pursuing the things that they'll do, because they think that it's not going to be realistic.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And there is some like pragmatism in doing things, but I knew in my heart that like, no, I need to get like at least an education out of putting money into something that I'm not going to get money back. If that makes sense. Like, it was an educational experience for me and I wanted that. And now it's like, that was my first time making a film. I made another one, didn't cost as much. I knew like, okay, Now I knew how can I make something with limited resources, you know? Because you can make something great with no money. Like, you can do it, you know? Did that. Still working at SmartFit, whatever. Owning my skill as a writer and director. It was more of like an exercise, like, while working at SmartFit. I was just kind of as bland as it sounds, I was there for a paycheck, you know? I was there for a paycheck. And I was just getting money just so I can invest in myself and my films. And 2020 happened, you know, that year, COVID, and everyone got laid off. I got laid off, and I'm just like, okay.
So the company you were with the software, laid you off for that year.
Okay. Yeah, I got laid off.
I mean, not cool, but like, you know.
No, it was cool. It was a blessing. It was a blessing in disguise. Let me tell you about it.
Yeah.
It was a blessing in disguise because, like, I'm like, okay, whatever. Yeah. I'm getting unemployment. Let me take this next 2 months before I start looking for an actual corporate. I hate to say that corporate job, which I didn't really like doing. Yeah, stability is good, but which I'll get into more later. Mm-hmm. I don't do 9 to 5, whatever. But it's like, okay, I'm not working. Let me just get some creative fulfillment, practice some stuff, you know.
Right on.
And at that time, yeah, I was fine, you know. Let me make stuff. So I made little stop motion videos and stuff, because I didn't want to just be known as someone who films skating and just make short films. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to like be versatile, and it was a very rigorous process because like I had no idea what I was doing, but I would get all these lights like this and my Sony A7S and film stop motion videos. You know what stop motion is, right?
You're taking a bunch of pictures? Or?
Yeah, I was doing stop motion
videos. God, that's crazy.
Yeah, they're on my Instagram. I did a lot, like, for, like, companies. Like, especially because, like, Oxnard companies. Because at the time, I'm like, you know what? We're all struggling. Let's all help each other out. So I would contact brands, like, not ask for money. Hey, I know it's tough times right now for me to increase your sales. How about we, like, it's a win-win if it'll help me as a creator, seeing if I can edit these types of videos and you get a video out of it. So, there's this company, shout out to, what's the company called? I forgot, but it's a bakery. It's a cookie company.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Steph. She's lovely. I did a few videos for them. I did something for Institution, like a stop motion video, whatever. Got my inspiration from like Daniel Schiffer, and I got to give credit to where it's due, by the way.
For sure.
Because I'm very influenced by a lot of people, and that's why I'm the way I am, because what I do is like a love letter to who I grew up watching. So got to give credit where it's due. But I did that. And there's this company called Tastemade. I don't know if you've heard of, I think you've heard of it now. It's like BuzzFeed.
Yeah, you told me about it.
Yeah, at the time, it's like, they do everything from like home renovations to travel. And I'm like, okay, this opportunity to get like an editor job, producer job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, let me see what I can, I have no experience besides filming skateboarding, filming corporate videos, like workout videos for SmartFit. And doing these little stop motion videos where I was like, okay, this looks cheap. But truth be told, I got the job. They believed in me. They liked my personality, whatever. And I'm just like, okay. Then, I don't know, from working with Tastemade, my career, I just feel like, yeah, it's hard work, but I just felt like success happened overnight, if I'm being honest. Like, I worked with, like, they put me in charge of, like, a lot of videos and, like, and I don't mean to say that like braggadociously. I want to say that confidently. Mm-hmm. Like, I was pretty good. I was getting good at editing, you know? And while I was editing, I was still doing the same thing. I was like, okay, saving up money. I'm doing fine. Let me keep making my films. And I kept doing that, you know? And I started doing really well at Tastemade. And then I got this opportunity to work for IMDb. You've heard of,
yeah
so movie that was reviews. like 2021 was my peak, but like in regards to like meeting people and stuff, getting opportunities. But because of my work that I excelled in at Tastemade, I ended up working for IMDb as a this was all freelance, by the way. I was not staff, but
you were a contractor,
yeah. But it was under agencies.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So it wasn't really contractor positions, but it was still like I was working under agencies. So I worked under two agencies. I in entertainment, I had like a manager and stuff, which was crazy to me. I did not think that would happen, but I did that, and then I was like one of the lead editors at IMDb, doing their TikToks, doing their career retrospectives, which means getting actors like portfolios and getting clips from movies to summarize what they did in a whole career path in a social media video in like a 1 minute essay. It was not easy, but I loved it because that's where like I excelled in. I love movies, and that's where I got my knowledge from IMDb, and Tastemade. And bro, like since then, like I just didn't stop, you know? Yeah, things slow down and stuff, but I just didn't stop. Like, I worked with so many... I did something for Netflix during AAPI month, which is... AAPI month.
It's big, yeah.
It's already next month. Yeah. But it's already been 4 years since I did that. Did something for Netflix. Did something for, like, BET. Did a bunch of stuff because of the fact that I was willing to do the stop motion video. It all started from, like... doing videos where I wasn't getting paid or I wasn't getting paid at all, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because to be honest, I did not get any money from skating. And because I took that risk, it made me get a reel, you know?
Yeah, it put you in a good position.
It put me in a good position, you know? And it put me in a great position at that time. It put me in a great position.
Thank you.
And I felt invincible, but I wasn't going to get complacent. Good. I wasn't going to stop. So that's why I kept doing what I do. I kept cold calling and like, I was really ambitious. I didn't care. Like even till this day, I don't really care about money, but I just want to create. And this will help me in the long run. Yeah. This will help me in the long run. This will help me become a better person. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously like I did have to like learn boundaries, which I'm still learning today. I hold myself accountable for that. Where it's like, I don't want to be taken advantage of in that regard. Because there were times when, I'm not going to name drop, there's this like big film producer head who like, he took the soul out of me and he liked my work. But like, it's kind of like those, like I see your stories and there are quotes where like I relate to it where it's like, it's always the lowest paying clients who want the most out of you. And they try to kiss
you've seen that last
one? Yeah, and they try to kiss your ass. That's exactly what happened with this company, and he even offered me to produce this comic book show, but I'm like, you never paid me, like, you know, I feel like it was just a testament of how I was, because like I was like, I did come off like, oh, my name's Gerard, I just want to learn, but at that time like I knew my value and I'm just like, no, I gotta get something, you know? And I knew in my gut feeling that I didn't want to continue working with him. I don't anymore. So thank God. Because he was going to ruin my reputation and like, or try to. I didn't, he was all BS. I was not afraid of him. He was just like, oh, I'm going to, like, I can't believe you didn't do this. Like, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to make, like, I want to make sure you don't make it. I hate saying that. Like, oh, make it. Like, there's other ways of making
for
it.
Sure.
I was like, what does that mean? Like, make it. Like, I already feel
let me unravel that a little. There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, sorry, that was a lot.
No, it's good. It's good. Because you're giving me an opportunity to work on a couple of things. Before we dive into novelty, right, there's also a couple of people that are trying to get into film or are already in film. Yeah. But you've achieved so much to be able to, you know, tap into big companies like what you mentioned, you know, to name a few, right? You mentioned, and you've catapulted into multiple companies to work with them to become a renowned, like, you know, filmmaker, editor, I don't even know what else to title you, right? So going back into that, right? When COVID hit, you said you started to offer stop motion video. What was your thought process going through at that time? Were you just looking to create? So that was it.
Let's talk about that. What I do.
Gotcha. And then did you strategically know that by offering free videos, you would get the attention that you probably would most people wouldn't be able to acquire?
To be honest, yes. I knew. I feel like, again, I don't mean to say this braggadociously. I feel like I knew what I was doing, you know, and don't get me wrong. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing. But at that time, I just had a feeling like, nah, this is going
to pay off.
This is going to pay off. Mm-hmm. Like, because I do everything with intention. I don't do anything. I don't do anything to like please people. Mm-hmm. I don't do anything in that regard. I know what my intentions are. I know it comes from the heart.
Yeah.
You know, and I like, okay, yes, there are times when I do have to make better decisions, but I just know at that time, like, if I didn't do that, I would not be where I am today.
Yeah. I mean, you from what I'm hearing as well is that you seem very aware. Did you ever take any communication class or anything? Or like identity? Because you talk a lot about identity.
I did. I didn't major in communication. I guess the closest thing is like mass media communications.
Yeah, usually that's when they start talking about identity or maybe psychology or sociology. That's when you start talking about that. Yeah. So anyways, going back into that, you understand that if you put in free work, not only will you be able to acquire the skill set, right, but you would also be able to get in front of these large companies.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, to answer your question, like, it's okay to ask for money when I feel like when you know your worth, because I didn't know my value at that time.
But also a lot of people don't understand that, you know, they don't get to define what value is.
Yeah.
You know, like the person that you're trying to get paid, or the organization or the group of people that you're trying to get paid from, they don't see you as value until you can prove it or have some sort of repertoire. Right. Yeah. So often, you know, a lot of people who are getting started, or people who are let's just talk about like content creators, right? People who are trying to become like freelancers. Like my little brother, before he blew up and was able to get paid by companies, he was under the same assumption that, yes, we're not going to get paid for right now, but he would rather build the skills, insights, and experience and connections in order for him to get paid. And a lot of people don't have that foundation. Mm-hmm. You know, and especially in the creator world, right? Like people just want to blow up. They want to be famous. They want to be recognized. But oftentimes they don't have the intention that you mentioned, that I want to provide for people. Mm-hmm. Would you say you're, you know, you didn't take any business or marketing class, or you probably didn't listen to, you know, were you always into that, or have you ever been into it, or as far as like understanding how to create valuable transactions?
No, I guess it just all stems from personality. Like, I feel like anyone can learn business as long as you're like not a dick to people. I don't know, as simple as that.
I was gonna mention, the reason why I mentioned is because we both come from a Filipino background, right? We understand that like value has to be reciprocal, right? It can't just be a one way. Like I do something for you, you do something for me. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how family is made. Like we build reciprocal value. We mm-hmm. give unconditional love, right? Mm-hmm. Would you say that's something that like your parents kind of taught down on you, or is that something you acquired along the way?
I guess I've always been like that. Like for me, this is bad, but I somewhat beg to differ. Never really, quote unquote, like never make any business transactions, like never make an emotional investment mm-hmm. in people. But I'm not like that. I'm more like I don't want it to be transactional. I never want it to be like if it does, that's the second step
for sure.
That's not my first
step. You have to know what value you actually provide first, and I mean, the only way you can do that is to give enough first out there, right?
Yeah.
So all right, so I want to fast forward a little bit and how you, when you built that like a momentum for yourself, mm-hmm. right? Like, was there, because usually a lot of creators that I know are quiet. Mm-hmm. They're reserved. They're very quiet. You know, they're thoughtful, but like they just don't have the ability to put themselves out. Like, I would agree that even if you had the best work, Gerard, and someone knew about it, but because you didn't speak up, no one would know about it. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about how you got connected with like the right people in order for you to like elevate. Like, was it just, you mentioned because they liked your personality. I think there was a lot more.
Yeah, of course. It's never just that, but that's always like my starting point.
For sure.
Like, I don't know. I just like meeting people and stuff. Crack a joke here and there.
Yeah, you're very sociable.
Yeah, which is crazy because I was never like that growing up, you know, as a twin. I was never, because sure. I was always insecure, but I grew out of that. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm way better now. But like now it's like, no, I like talking to people because conversations like need to be made, whether the conversations turn into, I feel like any conversation will always turn into something good. Even if it turns into something bad, you're going to get something out of it, you know? And I've just always been like that. I've always been like, okay, let me, because I never want to come off, and this is just a personal thing, I never want to come off as if I'm just hungry for money. You know,
same here.
Like I don't know. I just like meeting people, and like, if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's all trial and error. But I've just always been that type of person where I guess I facilitate selfless acts, you know, and I just always been like that.
Yeah. I think general, I mean, from my experience, I think most Filipinos are raised that way.
Yeah. Especially growing up in like, in poverty, you know, I can say that I grew up in poverty. My parents came from the Philippines. My mom came from the Philippines. I'm not gonna talk about my dad, but it's a whole nother thing. But it's just, I was never handed anything nice, you know. I never faked it till I make it. It was just more like, okay, if I'm gonna make it out of these trenches, let me not expect anything.
Yeah,
you know, let me not expect handouts. Let me just work my butt off and like have that risk and reward mindset.
That's awesome.
Even if I'm not making a lot of money. That's awesome. Yeah, money is a thing, you know, but for me, like in the long run, I feel like money will just it comes and goes. It'll always be there.
You know, the best thing I've learned.
The relationships will
for sure. I do notice that you value relationships and experience a lot.
Yeah.
What I will say is that the best thing I learned about money recently, a mentor told me, it's a way to keep score.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And wow, I thought I've detached my way of thinking of what money is or what it means to me, but you mentioned it's a way to keep score. So it doesn't define who you are, whether you don't make enough money or not. It just means that's where you currently are. If we're playing it, like I like to see life as a game. I've always mm-hmm. been a big gamer when mm-hmm. I was young, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me, like I've always liked the idea of having to acquire new skills or get to the next level, right? Mm-hmm. So every time I'm learning something or meeting someone new or something that allows me to pivot towards that direction, I'm like, damn, I leveled up.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and 100% for sure. I like that.
let's talk a little bit onto your film, Novelty. So I had the experience to experience it. I've never been invited to something like that, so thank you. I'm very grateful.
Of course.
Me, Josie, and Rix. He was supposed to be here and help out with the podcast stuff, but and Josie had to leave, but we enjoyed it. You know, I liked how you incorporate, you know, a lot of your creativity. I'm not gonna talk a lot about it, so I'll let you know eventually. Yeah. You know, you'll be able to talk about what you can. For me, it wasn't my tradition movie. I like Marvel. I like action movies. Mm-hmm. I like the hero movie. This one was different. You know, talk to us a little about how this came about. I mean, 8 years. Like, how did that even come into fruition?
So like I said earlier, if I'm doing something for money, I'm going to use that money to fund my films, whatever. Mm. And I was like, so in 2016, when I was working with Nigel was sponsored by GoPro. I was doing stuff for GoPro.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I want to see if we can get dancing in there, you know, like let me get a dance sponsorship. Like I can film dancing.
Because that was a time also you were discovering that was a part of you.
Yeah. At that time it was still a part of me. I just no one knew about that. But
gotcha.
I did like tell Nigel, like I opened up to him, hey, dance has always been a part of my life and I love film. I love shooting stuff. Don't get me wrong, I don't like shooting now. I don't like physically holding a camera now. But like back I don't like doing that anymore.
Interesting.
But, in 2016, at the time I loved doing it. I love documenting skating. Gerard, I guess it was spontaneous. Gerard, you know, you can get sponsored by GoPro. You just have to like show them what's up and like something new.
Hmm.
In my head, I'm like, okay, dance. Because GoPro's never really been utilized with dance.
Mm.
So I thought to myself, let me write something, but also make it where it's like a documentary, like dancing, whatever, or like a dance epic,
right?
Dancing in different locations where dance, yes, we use it as a narrative device, but the main focus was how I filmed it with the GoPro, you know, and I did that, or I tried to do
so
that.
So wait, back to that. How did you use how you shot it as a way to tell a story?
I was gonna, in the DVD of Novelty, I'm gonna show it. I don't want to say too much, okay, but I use GoPro differently than other people like would never have thought of. It was pretty unique.
And damn, kind of.
I say that confidently.
I'm a little frustrated now that I can't dive into it yet.
Yeah, no, it's okay. A lot of people don't know. Like, yeah. Isaac, you probably did not know that, huh? Like, a lot of people don't know that. Mm-hmm. So that's why Novelty is such a big deal to me. It's rooted from the GoPro thing. A lot of people didn't know that. A few people knew, but not a lot. But I realized, this was before I made my first film, by the way. I realized, okay, I can't do all of this by myself. It was hard. I was doing everything by myself. So right. I was wearing multiple hats. And I didn't necessarily fail. I just learned. Mm-hmm. I like to put it in that perspective. It just didn't happen. And Novelty, the title's always been there. And Novelty before was just, I guess, coined as, something to hold, like an ornament, you know? And at that time it was a notebook, which I used. I didn't really use it I did use it in the movie.
Okay.
It's in the poster, the paper plane.
Mm-hmm.
It was paper. That was my novelty. in the original film, they would write like how they felt or what they want to do when they grow up. Mm. Now you see, because you saw the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
8 years later, man, like I did it, but not with GoPro. I just had to. Yeah. So the whole 8 years, it was always in the back burner. But I had life, you know, I was focused on other things. But 2020 during COVID, I brought it back. Mm-hmm. Wrote a script, showed it to Byron. COVID happened. We couldn't shoot it. Fast forward now. As simple as that. It was hard. Like, it was also hard, like, also funding it. Like, I knew it was just hard, like, saving a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I'm just like, okay, am I really going to take out this? I'm not going to say the amount, but it's a lot. Hefty amount of my savings, you know. And I did. You know, it was worth it. Like, you saw, like, it was worth it. I didn't want to. Like, yes, I'm a strong advocate for people not spending money, and you can make something great with little money. Mm-hmm. But it was a personal thing. I wanted to.
It's your craft.
It's
your
my
baby.
Craft. Yeah. And I wanted to heighten the professionalism.
Love it.
On screen by a lot, you know. And I can say that this was my magnum opus. And yeah, putting in a lot of money, it just made things better, you know? And I say that honestly, but you don't always need to do that, you know? I just wanted to do that because I've worked my way up doing so many short films that I wanted this to be my magnum opus and show people,
yeah.
Okay, the other ones were my mixtapes. This one's my first album. You know, as cheesy as it is.
You're
and
deep.
I think it paid, yeah. I think it paid off. And we're still going through like the festival run through right now, but right now people are just seeing it and stuff. But a lot of people don't know my story, and I feel I'm really thankful that you asked me to be a part of this and I get to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
no,
that's how novelty came in.
That's awesome. I mean, shit, I hope, you know, where it's going right now. Are you able to talk a little bit about where it's headed right now?
Yeah, I can talk about that. So I applied to a lot of festivals and we got into all of them.
Nice.
Well, two.
Okay.
I got notifications from two festivals, Indie Short Fest, which I'm not going to dive deep into the definition of a feature and a short. The distinction is very subjective.
Gotcha.
But and then there's Indie X Films, which Indie Short Fest, we got nominated for Best Cast. And I couldn't have done that without Byron. And
he did get some good talent there.
Yeah,
I was so amazed. I'm not going to talk about it. Let's just say if you were in there and you watched that part, that's what you would look forward for.
Yeah, especially because like the film is very emotional. And a lot of stuff in the film happened to me.
Hmm.
So everything I do is intentional. And I want every film, I feel like every film is good objectively from the creator. If something you put in is personal, you got to be hyperactive in telling your life somehow, you know, or like telling your truth. And the film, you know, the quote is tell your story. Mm-hmm. And this is my story.
So, love that. Love that. That's your story. Mm-hmm. Cool, man. Well, I'm looking forward to see how that progresses for yourself and your actors and where this film can take you. So, you know, just I'm keeping an eye on it. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how, especially coming here from our hometown.
Yeah.
You know? Let's talk about your company.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, how did, you know, RGB company? I mean, it obviously stands for your initials.
Yeah.
Like, what transpired for that?
So I wanted to create something where it's like a collective.
Mm-hmm.
RGB does not mean myself. Just myself. That's why and company means and my people.
Mm, for sure.
So I wanted to create a collective where it's like we kind of showcase our skills. And it ended up being a production company. But because of the momentum I was getting.
Really?
Because of the momentum I was getting when I lived out in Woodland Hills. Mm-hmm. I moved back, by the way, which we can get into that later. But the momentum I was getting, clientele and stuff, I'm like, okay, like. All these budgets I'm getting, I don't want it to be on my personal.
Yeah. So you were smart about it. Okay.
Yeah. It was more of like a business.
Yeah. No, that's smart. That's smart.
Yeah. But it's also like, okay, I don't want to come up and be like, oh yeah, I'm a production company. It's not like that with me. This is my family. And
this is just more of a strategic move.
Yeah. It's a business strategic move. Yeah. And it's actually my two year anniversary.
Congratulations.
tomorrow. No, it was last week, but okay. The party's on Friday, which you're, I'll invite you to.
I guess we're invited to a party.
Yeah, 2 years. That's why it's very, awesome. I guess, serendipitous that we're having this podcast. But yeah, two years ago, I wanted to make a company, which also too, like it just makes making a film look good. I shot Novelty Part 1 in 2022, and I was transitioning from an old production name called Silent Paradise Productions to RGB, which is more, obviously it's more personal because it's my name, but yeah, it just makes, it's an LLC. It's just something, it just looks good on paper, but now it's like, I transitioned from it just for show into something big now. I work with dancers now. Isaac's a part of it. It's a whole, I guess, like creative agency where it's like, I have people a part of it where I can hire them to be dancers on music videos, brand stuff. Like, I don't know, you've seen my stuff. Like,
yeah.
I work with a lot of companies now, like brands.
So brands are hiring like big you brands. To acquire these talent. Yeah. And also do the production for it.
Yeah, and yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So a lot of it's voluntary. Mm. Like I told everyone, like, I'm not about making money.
But they do get, I mean, for them on their end, they get experience and build up their portfolio, especially if they're trying to become backup dancers or maybe main dancers or actors or maybe they just want more, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? A repertoire or a reputation. You know?
Reputation, yeah. And reputation, yeah, that's a one thing for me. Like, for me, it's more of like to help people. Like, if I can make it out there, like, I could help people make it out there so they don't have to work just as hard as I did, but you obviously still put in the work in the right handouts, obviously.
Can't be, no handouts.
No handouts. And I told my people that, or I told my RGB squad that, no handouts. But no, they're all hard workers. But yeah, that's how my company came about. It's 2 years so
far. Yeah. How did you come up with the color? Or does it mean the basic colors? Or does
red, green,
mean
blue. It was simple. It was very simple. Oh, okay. Shout out to Ryan who made my logo. And shout out to Nicole who actually gave me the name.
Gotcha.
She's like one of my best friends. I have to shout her out. Yeah, because originally it was going to be called something else, which I'm not going to say. It's embarrassing. I'm a little insecure about it. But RGB and company, it just felt right.
Mm.
Because I did not want to use my name. But it just felt right using
RGB. I don't know if you noticed, but I actually set up the lights to kind of...
I did notice.
To kind of match up. If you turn around...
No, yeah, I noticed.
And on top of that, like right behind you...
Our stickers.
Huh?
Stickers.
Oh, you seen that?
They're on black. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
okay.
I noticed things. But,
oh, very good.
I like being surprised.
Yeah.
Coming off surprised is my appreciation. But no, I did notice, and I really appreciate it. I didn't want to say anything yet.
The guys here over here made that for you with the wine bottle.
No,
wine
I saw. Yeah.
Cool. So we'll give you
appreciate
that.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. So I know you have to go because you have a practice coming up. 7:45. About 7:40.
Yeah.
We're still good on the time?
We're still good.
Okay. Yeah. A couple of minutes before. I want to give you some time to travel back as well. It's like 15-minute drive from here. Cool. So as far as like your film and then your company right now, like what's next for you? Like what are you looking forward to?
I guess I can tell you what I'm doing now because a lot of people don't really know what exactly I do because I like keeping, if I don't have to say something on social media, I don't need to say it, you know?
For sure.
Because I try to keep it like private I don't need to show something that I don't need to, you know, is what I'm trying to say. But right now, I'll just say it. So I'm actually working on a Food Network show. It's my third Food Network show under my company.
Love that.
Can I say this? I have a manager. He won't see this.
Okay.
It's called Manitz Eats. I'm like the lead producer, one of the lead post producers and editors and stuff on it. And then I have someone on RGB named Kate, shout out Kate, who's helping me with the trailer. We're coming up with the trailer for it, but yeah, we shot 10 episodes for Food Network. It's going on air. We're almost done. And then before that, we did another Food Network show called Ready Jet Cook. It was a season. It was like multiple seasons, a compilation. And I have a bunch of other stuff that I'm doing that it's just hard to like kind of summarize into as one, you know, but I'm doing a lot. I guess that's my main thing. Novelty, festival run. I'm working with Food Network as a client. And yeah, just doing the same thing. Cold calling, being a businessman, like, hey, let's be friends, whatever. See if I can get a job. Not get a job out of it, but you know what I mean.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I do want to pick your brain on this side so that people who are looking to, you know, eventually elevate their career on a professional or entrepreneurial level. Let's say someone was trying to work with companies just like how you are as of right now, like what are some advice or tips that you would tell them just to, you know, work on?
Yeah, and I apologize. I disregarded that question earlier.
I don't think I asked it.
You did. I think you, not in that way, but I totally disregarded that, but I'll answer it now, so I apologize.
Well, if you did, then that's okay.
Yeah. No, it's just, so I guess, like, my thing, like, again, a lot of people expect, oh, like, I'm charging $1,000 a day to shoot a video, but it's like, show me your portfolio, and they don't have anything. It's like, why should I give you money?
Right.
I think, like, just come up with the intention of not looking desperate, not being desperate, and just be cool. Like, easy said than done, right? But it's just start like a friendship, like when you feel like, and if it doesn't work out, then don't do that. Obviously, like, there are boundaries where it's like you do have to think about the transaction as opposed to the personal aspect of business. But I've always been against that. I've always obliged to just trying to become friends first. But for me, I guess just don't expect handouts. I would recommend doing stuff for if it helps your portfolio, whether it's shooting something for free or if you want to be a screenwriter, read scripts like that are free online, but just don't expect that you're going to make hella money right away, because it does feel good when you're doing something you love and you're getting paid for it, but that should never be the intention.
Right.
You know, and I just feel like a lot of people's intentions, it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to make it by charging this. And yes, that's cool. You know your value. But if you don't have anything to show and you have an ego about it, then you're not going to make it with that attitude.
Yeah.
You know, and this is all subjective and this is all what I learned. But that's just like my way of operating. It's like, just don't be so thirsty for money, bro. Like, that's just don't, like, yes, ask, tell them your rates and stuff, but just never. Money shouldn't be the first thing.
For sure.
Never. That's just simplest terms.
I think that the key term here is that a lot of people don't know how to learn how to add value.
Yeah.
You know? Just like at the end of the day, you know, especially if you're starting off, if you have no way to showcase that you provide value to the other person's life, business, or whatever it is they're trying to do, it's very hard to include you in the picture. You know, so a lot of people just need to learn how to be a little bit more humble and just know how to, hey, how can I help this person? You know, and I think that's a cool thing. I don't know, maybe that's why we were meant to be nurses and engineers, right? Because we're always looking to help people.
Yeah.
Right? That's like in our core trait, especially in the Filipino culture. So I think, you know, that's a good approach as well. So then, you know, what about filmmakers? I mean, someone who's trying to create a film as well. What are some things that you wish you can tell them that you probably wish you could, or that you would tell them that you wish you could tell yourself, your past self?
That, I guess, with money, if I hate talking about money, like, I didn't have to put all that money. I could have got a GoFundMe. Anything helps, but in my head, I was just so impatient. It's like, nah, I have it. Let me just do it, you know?
Because
it's hard asking people for money when, like, How are they? They don't have an emotional investment in it.
Yeah, no,
you know,
for sure.
Yet alone the people doing it. You know, it's just really trying to sell yourself.
Yeah,
like what are they getting out of it? How do you start? And it all comes with reputation and personality.
Gotcha.
It's like, if you don't have anything to show, at least be cool. At least be a little, you know, be more friendly. You know, but for me, like, I never had anything to show, so I always had to work on my attitude. I feel like I've always been the same. I try to be the same person as before. Get if anything better, you know, but love also that. Try to show that I have something, you know, and that's why I still do what I do.
Right.
You know, but I think I'm at that level where it's like, I can do any, I say this confidently, I can do anything. Manifestation is real. And you can honestly do anything, no matter how long it takes. Like, I can say I'm going to get an Oscar, and I say that, I just manifest it. I don't give a crap if it's going to take me 80 years. I'm going to get, you know, it's, and I'm not saying I am. I'm just saying that mindset, just have that mindset of like, oh, you're going to get it. You know, just have that mindset, but be humble about it. No, that's going to take years. No, it's not going to happen overnight. If it happens overnight, then it happens overnight.
What I'm hearing a lot is through this film is that, like, it's a big project and yes, you can fund it yourself, but you can also ask for help.
Yeah, I could have done
and,
that.
But you can only ask for help if you're a good person, obviously. So I guess if you have to be a good person, learn how to be a good person.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying, oh, like, you know, I'm not trying to, like, define anyone by any means, but it's just, like...
Well, I mean, people are only going to like you if you're a good person to them, so, you know, right?
But you shouldn't care what other people think either.
Yes, that's what I mean. Don't please people, just be a genuine person.
Be genuine, and that's something, like, I've tried working on. It's like, no, I'm not doing this to make people like me. No, I'm genuinely like,
I do my best to not...
You know,
piss people off.
Yeah,
not in a way that you know
you want them to like you. But it's just more like no, like you
be
care.
Reasonable.
Be reasonable. You know? Exactly. Yeah, and that's
treat people the way I want to be treated.
Yeah, and that's something where it's like you have your boundaries. You know, like you can please someone, but if they're gonna just use you, there's a difference. You're not getting anything out of it, but like being used.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep.
And that's this crappy feeling. Yeah. And I'm honestly still working on that now.
Yep, same.
You know,
here.
Because I care. I just care. You know, my intentions is just I just care, and it's not that I want people to like me. It's just more like I care about that person to be happy and living their own life. But yeah. I'm still working on
genuinely that genuine boundary. Person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All
right. So I have one main question before it turns into ending it off. Mm-hmm. If you can tell yourself one advice to your younger self, what would that be?
That being Asian or whatever part Asian, whatever, or being Asian, you're gonna edit this, right? Can I?
Yeah.
Okay. Being.
I will.
Okay, good. I don't want to make your job harder than it is because I know editing's hard, but.
Nah, this is easy for me.
being Asian and being a twin doesn't define who I am.
Mm.
You know, I'm my own person, and that's. It took me a while, and I'll say this: I didn't get to talk about it. So the whole dance thing, I didn't join Eminon because my brother wanted the spotlight, and I was very insecure that people were gonna judge me because I look like him.
Mm.
But I'm not like that. I'm not like my brother. And 31 years later, I joined Faction, which is cool. You know, like I get to fill in that void, and I never really joined a dance team because people always saw me as making movies and like skating. But like once people saw me dance, they're like, dude, you can dance. I'm like, I mean, I like it. You know. And this is where novelty, you know, that's why it's also a big deal because this was my void showing people. And I choreographed a lot of the pieces.
Mm.
That was my void showing that I'm a dancer, you know, but now I'm comfortable. I can and shout out to Byron, bro. Like Byron, I'm quoting him. Sorry, Byron, if I'm putting you under the bus. Bro, you're a dancer. You have it in you. And it didn't really hit me until like, it's very not emotional. Like, I'm not going to cry about it, but it just feels good. You know, like I can confidently say like, oh, I'm a dancer, but my career is filmmaking and I love making films, but I love dancing as a hobby. You know,
I think you're just a creative person in general.
Yeah. I guess I'm just a creative person in general. Cause I do a lot.
You want to do a bunch of shit.
Yeah. I used to do gymnastics. Like I've done a lot.
It's so weird. I thought I'm still learning what that creator means to me to this day. I thought, you know, I was just a business person.
Mm-hmm.
But as time progressed, I like creating shit with business.
Mm-hmm.
I like seeing shit built.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember literally, that's why I like this because it reminds me of like little Legos, you know, like being built all together.
Yeah, and I wanted it to be something playful. Yeah,
yeah. So that's, as I look back into as a child, I've always loved building shit. You know, I remember I would build cities, I would build little Legos and together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, until I became or increased my self-awareness, I realized, damn, I love to do this shit because I love seeing the process of shit being built. You know, I love helping people out being built that.
And I also like, I like that. Mm. I really like that. I also feel like I'm a student before I'm a teacher. Cause I do feel like I can be a mentor, you know, but I like being a beginner. I like starting from scratch and working as a collaborative, you know, saying like, let's work on this. Let's figure this out together. Let's learn together. And that's how we learn as humans. Like, yes, know your shit, know your value, like be confident in what you do, but also be humble as, you know, being a student before a teacher.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. I totally resonate with that as well. I'm a big fan of just being a student for everything else, you know, knowing that you don't know everything, or rather, you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, tapping back into it or closing it out, for anybody who's looking to connect with you or your company or check out the film, let's give some links for that and, you know, how people can get connected with it.
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of people asking me about like when the film's gonna release. I don't know yet, but I do have a planned slate for June or July.
Yeah, like a marketing kind of strategy around there.
Campaign. But it just depends on the film festival. Like Indie X, I think we got offered to play it next in May, but that's too soon because we're fixing some things that you didn't see in the first cut.
Okay.
Yeah, so you saw something early that the public isn't going to see.
Gotcha.
So we're just doing a little revision.
I'll rewatch it again.
yeah. But yeah, we're going to do a worldwide tour or whatever. But that's, I don't have a really answer that's awesome. For that. I'm
okay.
Just
okay.
Waiting.
Okay. So as far as your company and Gerard, how can they get a hold of you?
I think people watching this, like nowadays, you can just DM me because like I know how complex it might be. Oh, hit me up via email. No, you don't have to do that. Just just shoot me a DM. I always open them. I always like respond. So as simple as that.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Well, tapping back, closing it out. Anything else you want to add on before I end the podcast?
No, just want to say thank you so much for letting me tell my story. You know, as you know, the film novelty is all about telling stories, and I'm comfortable that I finally told my story.
That's amazing. Well, I appreciate you for coming out. Your story with novelty and as well as your career path through your profession as a filmmaker, starting, you know, with just recording, I think it's amazing, especially with someone who comes with similar backgrounds in, you know, Philippine culture. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see where your career pathway is going to be. And shit, I love seeing people progress, you know? So thanks again.
Likewise. Thank you so much, man.
All right. Well, for anybody tuning in, we'll see you guys in the next episode. Thanks for tuning in. Hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed the episode. We'll be doing more episodes like this where we bring on professionals, experts, leaders to voice what they stand for. So if you haven't already, make sure to follow or subscribe so that you can tune in to the next and latest episode.